Blog Talk Radio.
Good morrow, and welcome to the realm. I am epic fantasy author J.V. Hillier, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those marking their first adventure into the realm, this may be a vast and sweeping domain you've never visited before, where I will feature a variety of creatives like myself on a weekly basis, and they specialize in a plethora of art forms. Week by week, it's going to be somebody different, and I'll get into who we have here in a second, but if you enjoy what you're hearing, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com or follow me at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, or look for me as JV Hilliard on Discord and Facebook. So as we reach the witching hour, let me cast my message spell and take control of the magical airways of Blog Talk Radio once again. And for you D&D nerds like me that are out there, the duration of my transmutation magic lasts about 30 minutes. So set your sundials and let's enter the realm together. Today we'll be chronicling the adventures of a fellow speculative fiction scribe. Her name is Sarah McKnight. Sarah's been writing stories since she picked up a pencil and often got in trouble during math class for doing so. And after a brief stint of teaching English to unruly middle school teachers in Japan, she decided she wasn't going to put off her dream of becoming a writer any longer and set to work to doing that. Sarah, well met, and welcome to the realm.
Hi, thank you so much.
And let's tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. What do you write, and where can they find you?
Yeah, so I write a bit of a variety. I do a lot of slice of life YA that kind of focuses on real teen issues, but I also have a very soft spot in my heart for horror. My most popular series is called The Reaper's Quota, about a grim reaper who really would like to quit his job. It is a three-part series so far, with the third book coming out very soon. And I also do a lot of short horror.
Well, Sarah, you know, I have the advantage. I've read the Reaper series up until even what I would describe as your most recent manuscript, the beta read of it. And I've had the pleasure of falling in love with the series. To me, it's like Neil Gaiman's Sandman meets the movie Office Space. You started describing it. Go in a little bit more detail. Tell our listeners a little bit about the inspiration for it and how you deliver some, what I would describe as very horror-oriented scenes meets comic relief.
Well, the inspiration is a bit of a funny story. I was getting ready to do NaNoWriMo, which, if you don't know, is the National Novel Writing Month Challenge that is held every November. The goal is to write 50,000 words. It was 2017. This is actually when I was living in Japan. It was very cold, and I wasn't going out much. I had a whole book planned. It had to do with aliens and possession and all kinds of cool stuff. And then about 2 days before November 1st, I woke up about 3 a.m. in just like a cold sweat from what could only be called a fever dream with one thought. What if grim reapers worked in a corporate environment? And it just shifted everything.
It's kind of demented, though, right? You've got to admit, that's a little edgy.
Yeah, so that is how that happened. I don't know. I guess I had a dream, and I woke up, and like, this has to come out now.
Well, you know, look, I've read them, and I can see this. I could see this being the and I hate to say this because I know you're writing in a bunch of different genres, but this is my favorite. Like, I want to read these going forward. And I know that, you know, my wizardly intuition is telling me that there are rumblings about the Reaper series maybe taking a different form soon. Is there kind of an adaptation that's coming, something we can be looking for to see it jump off the pages and maybe see it in a different kind of art form?
Well, we are very much hoping to turn the series into an animated series. That is currently the goal. I am talking with a few people who are very enthusiastic about it and sound like they might be able to help make this happen. It's just a long waiting game, but I will say that I am working on this project with a few other very talented people, and hopefully once, you know, the writer's strike is settled and everybody is getting paid fairly for their work, we can move forward with this project and hopefully bring the Reaper world to life.
Nice, nice. I can't wait to see that. I'm a big comic guy, graphic artist guy, anime. So if you're putting it into that kind of form, I'm looking forward to it. But here's the truth. And I know we were talking about this a little off air, but is it true that you only planned on writing one or two of these and then your husband made you write a third? Can you tell them about the anecdote about how that happened?
Yeah, so not quite. So I originally wrote it as a standalone. I never intended to do a second book, ever. However, I published the first one as kind of a test in self-publishing, just to kind of see what that world was like. And people loved it. I got so many great reviews. But the one consistent thing that people were pointing out was like, I have to know what happens next. Because it does end on a cliffhanger. And I like those, like, ambiguous endings where you kind of are left to decide on your own what you think happens after the final page. Not everybody likes that, I have learned. But these comments really got me thinking. And I wanted to know, well, what is next for this Reaper after the events of this book? And it fell into place. And so I wrote the second one, and I felt like it turned out even better than the first. People really enjoyed it. I didn't intend to write a third. And people were asking again, well, what happens next? And I started thinking about it. I had kind of dug myself into a hole with the second book. I won't give anything away, but I will say that my husband hated it, and he was not afraid to let me know that he hated the way I ended the second book. So we were actually in a six-hour car ride when he finished reading it, and we ended up discussing how I could fix what I have done. And it honestly ended up working out for the better. I truly, truly believe that this third one that will be coming out next month is the best one that I have written yet.
So, all right. I was one of those people that wanted more. I'll be the first one to admit it. And I got more. I'm glad I got more. and your husband was right. I'm glad you caved and you succumbed to his will, because I think it makes everybody happy that there's more, you know, content for them to digest. But I'm going to make you do something that's unpopular among my guests, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. I'm going to ask you to pick between your children and tell me which Reaper is your favorite Reaper and why. And for those of you that have not read the books yet, she's not going to give any spoilers away, but just tell me who your favorite Reaper is.
Oh, I mean, aside from the main character?
Mm-hmm. Who you could be your main character. It's an open book. You tell me.
Well, I do love Steve, or Reaper 2497, as he is known in his realm. But I will say that I do have a soft spot for 1632. He's fun, and his number is a little Easter egg just for myself, because that is the year that One-Eyed Willy landed in the Goonies.
Well, look, we all, as authors, I think we leave all sorts of Easter eggs. They're you know, my books are festooned with them as well. I mean, I think they're fun, not just for you, but also for people that are close to you. When they see something, it pops out and makes them think that you cared enough to put their Easter egg in there for them. So we'll allow that. No problems with that. But let me change the subject a little bit away from Reaper. I want to get on to some of your other works. I know you've submitted a few short stories, and one of them was a serial to Altered Reality magazine. I personally enjoyed the serial, The Guilt Trip. It was a 6-piece series that you did there, and this also stays on the theme of horror. So, you know, what gave you the idea for The Guilt Trip, and tell the listeners a little bit about the story?
Yeah, so it is very loosely inspired by a podcast called Old Gods of Appalachia, which is like a horror anthology podcast. What I really love about it is just the way that the horror is described. And I wanted to challenge myself to kind of recreate that terrifying feeling without going overboard and still making it feel almost beautiful in a way in my own style. So the serial is about a young woman who is essentially being stalked by her best friend who died. And as we go through the serial, we find out what happened with that. It started because I just had this image in my head of looking out a window and seeing this horrific, decomposing figure standing there and just staring inside.
First of all, that's freaky. Second of all, I have to say, because I know you personally, you know, if anybody met you in the real world, you know, they would think that horror might be the last genre you would write in. And
yes,
yet,
it's
I've read your stuff, and it's my favorite genre that you write in. Like, how do you ever get those kind of questions when people meet you and talk to you about, you know, whether it's an interview like this or someone on the street or you're at a, you know, a book awards thing? Do people come up to you and say, I don't picture you this way, because when I read horror, you think, you know, crazy Stephen King kind of crazy guy. And then they meet you, and you're just well-grounded, you don't look like a horror writer. So do you ever get that from people?
I do. I think it's kind of two totally different reactions. One is always like, you like horror? I pegged you for like a romance, like always watching the Hallmark Channel type. And then the other end of the spectrum is like, oh yeah, it's always people like you.
Yeah, like closet horror fans, or you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I get that. Like, it's like the guy who writes romance under a pen name or something like that. So, well, good. Well, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that thought that, but keep writing the horror stuff. I do want to talk a little bit about, I know you're being featured in Altered Reality's quarterly magazine, the summer edition, launches in August. And for those listening that haven't checked out Altered Reality magazine, check it out at alteredrealitymag.com. You could find some of Sarah's work there under the serials and short stories, and then she's going to be featured in the Summer Camp Horror quarterly magazine that comes out here in August. I understand in your submission, which is called Your Average Campfire Story, which is a perfect name for the submission for this magazine, that this is based on a true story in some capacity. I mean, if it is, it's kind of freaky, but we got to hear it. So let's find out a little bit more about where this came from.
Yeah. So what I submitted to you, I would say is about 90% based in truth and only 10% embellishment. So if you want a little detail.
I do want a little detail. You can't leave it open like that, because it sounds like this actually happened to you then.
It did. When I was in elementary school, my very best friend and I, who lived across the street from me, decided that, you know, we wanted to go play on our elementary school playground, which was a pretty short walk. It was close enough that our parents were comfortable with us going there by ourselves. And there were two ways to get there. We lived in a subdivision that was on a very steep hill. So we could either hike up the hill and then walk on the sidewalk along the main road to get to the elementary school. Or we could cut across this huge field that was between our houses and the school. And that day, we decided to cut across the field. and her older brother, who was in middle school at the time, came along with us. And as we were walking through the field, we came across this old shed that had probably been there forever. I mean, we knew it was there because this is not the first time we've taken that route. But her brother found some spray paint cans and, you know, being a middle schooler, decided to paint some of the walls. And all of a sudden, my friend told us to run. And we didn't ask questions. We just took off. And the next day, when we were at school, our school, this was, you know, back in the early 90s, early 2000s, our school went on lockdown because there was a man on the playground looking for somebody. And my friend told me, she told us to run the day before because she saw somebody watching us messing with the spray paint.
You know, I'll tell you what, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, that is just freaky. I look, and I know authors are very observant people. They have a tendency to be introverted. They have a tendency to be observant. I'm assuming that a lot of what you write comes from real life experiences. I know it does for me. You know, and this one really kind of hits home. It reminds me of a story. My mother and my uncle went away to a summer camp, and this is no joke, when they were growing up, not far from Pittsburgh, where we live, in a place called Mars, Pennsylvania. And there was a mental institute up that way. And of course, somebody walked out and they were close to where they were at their summer camp, and they got locked down. And
oh, wow.
I heard the stories about that and how this guy was trying to find the kids. And you don't know how much that's true or not, that urban legend kind of feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. It just feels that way. So, like, those real-life stories just, ugh. And I was reading this thing. I'm like, man, if this really happened to her, oh, boy. Like, you feel like you're super lucky. And the funny thing is the only thing that really diverged from the story, from what you told and what I read, is the fact that this was your girlfriend's brother as opposed to boyfriend. Like, it literally was the only detail that I didn't catch. Oh, that gives me goosebumps. Look, for those that want to read more, check out Altered Reality Mag in August when the quarterly magazine launches. But look, hey, Sarah, we're coming to the turn in the show when we start to have a little fun with you. We're going to have a couple of cool questions, and then we're going to go into a lightning round at the end here. But I'm going to throw some stuff out, and because I know you, I've kind of staged these to kind of come at you in a way that I'm going to put you on the spot because I know you a little better than my average guest. So so I'm going to throw the first one at you because I already know the answer to it, but I want to see if you are going to be honest with our listeners. What is your take on book boyfriends? And what I mean by that is, in your case as an author, do they really exist? You know, and I know that you kind of have a favorite of some of your characters. You could talk about it. It doesn't have to be horror now, but I know that you have sort of a love affair going on with one of the characters in another book, but do you have a book boyfriend, and who is it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If I told you I didn't have a crush on at least one of my characters, I would be a big fat liar. if you're going to make me choose just one, which is cruel.
Just one. Just one.
I
Who's your favorite book boyfriend? How about that?
Oh, okay, my favorite book boyfriend. I would have to go with Blaze from...
Well, I knew you were going to choose that. If anybody was sitting next to me, they would see it written on my Post-it note.
Yep.
Go ahead. Tell everybody about Blaze.
He comes from my Basement Gang series, which is just a book about a group of teens who hang out in their best friend's basement and get up to the usual teenage antics. It's a lot of fun. Blaze originally was actually not created by me. He belongs to a friend of mine named Lindsay, who I met in middle school. She's this incredibly talented artist, and she would sketch these characters all the time. And I would start writing about them, and we kind of ended up creating this world. So Blaze is one of the characters that she created. He's just, you know, this super chill, laid-back, pretty punk rock dude who kind of just lets life drift by and goes with the flow, and he's a little snarky, and he likes to tease, but he has a good heart. So, yes, I love him. He's my favorite.
All right. Does your husband know about him? Is he jealous?
Oh, of course.
No, seriously, all kidding aside, I find that working with other creatives also inspires me. And even as you were doing this at a younger age, like I can – you know, I had a creative writing class once, and it was like that too. I mean, our teacher was named Mr. Bud, and Bud, like it looked like he smoked a bud before he'd teach the class. And you would get in there, and you would just, you know, you would get into these matches of creative writing, but you would also, like, iterate with other people in the room. And I've seen that. I tell people that a lot. When I get stuck in writing, often I'll ask other creatives, and they don't have to be writers, like what do they think I should do? And they always come back with something cool, and you find something that works for you and you work it out. And it sounds to me like you've done that with one of your favorite characters and memorialized it in your love affair with Blaze. All right, let's stay on this for a second. I'll walk away from Blaze for a second. I know you don't want to, but we're walking away. What character in any of your books would you find are most similar to either you or somebody you know? Have you ever taken someone you know and just put them on steroids and thrown them into your book? Or is there someone in your book that's supposed to be you? Have you done that?
Yeah, in a way. I think we all put little pieces of ourselves in our characters. So you could say there's a little bit of me in all of the characters that I put forth. But I think
Cop out.
I'm going to answer. I think the one that I would say is most similar, because we all kind of idolize some of our favorite characters. I put a lot of myself in Charlie, who, don't make fun of me, is Blaze's girlfriend.
No, I don't see how I could make fun of you for that. Please. Of course he's Blaze's girlfriend.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like her attitude. She's very motivated. She's very much a go-getter, but she also has a hard time relaxing and gets into her own head a lot and doesn't always really see the bigger picture, and that is something that I struggle with as well. So it's good to kind of put myself in that position through her eyes, even though her story is completely different from anything that I've ever personally gone through. Having such a similar personality to me, she's definitely the character that I'm closest to.
Yeah, I get that. Let me change this up a little bit, throw you a curveball. I'm going to do this because I know you write in multiple genre, and I think it might happen to you where someone like me is more on a straight path and writes a single thing, and maybe this doesn't happen to me as much as it does to you, but when you have a new idea for a novel or even a new idea for a character, while you're still working on your current work in progress, do you ever kind of chase the new shiny object and put your current work in progress aside because you've got this great new idea, or do you – you know, have the discipline to kind of wait for that to be done? Or do you ever fear like you're leaving something on the table if you don't write it right now?
No, I do generally wait, because I personally have to go through what I call like a marinating phase. If I get a new idea, I have to let it sit and rest before I feel even close to ready to writing it down. I've always been a very big daydreamer. So when it happens, and it does a lot, I have to play these key scenes out in my mind over and over and over again until, A, my first project is finished, and B, I feel like I know these characters and I can picture this scene well enough to actually put it to paper.
I gotcha. And one last question before we get into the lightning round.
Okay.
As an author, what was the hardest scene you've had to write, and why was it so hard? And it could be from any book, not the horror. It could be anything you've written. What was the hardest scene you've ever written, and why?
There is a scene. This is the first one that comes to mind. There is a scene in Life, Love, and Lipstick, which is Charlie's story, where she goes through some very physical abuse from her father. And having to be mentally in that situation for so long while I wrote it out and edited and rewrote and went through all of those phases of writing was extremely hard, to the point where I was almost like, why am I even doing this? I shouldn't do this.
Yeah, I mean, I can get that. That's a serious, serious, yeah. I mean, I asked. So, all right, on a lighter note, we're going to go into our lightning round. I've got three or four questions for you. You know, one sentence answers, one word answers. If you stumble onto something that I want to go a little deeper into, I will, but we only have a few minutes left in the show.
Sure.
So many of us, authors in particular, we like to snack on something or drink something while we are writing. Do you have a favorite snack or a favorite drink, and what is it?
Just water. If I have a snack, I'm going to be reaching instead of typing.
Fair enough. Well, do you celebrate? What do you do to celebrate when you finish a book? I mean, you go out to dinner? Do you have some sort of ritual? Anything on your side that you have a tendency to do when you finish that book and you get everything out and you're done and you're ready to send it to your editor?
Oh, I will 100% like go online and treat myself to a couple little nerdy trinkets, because I'm also very into anime, and I'll buy like, you know, a new t-shirt or a couple anime figures because I have a pretty vast collection.
Well, then I'm going to skip ahead. Who's your favorite anime character? I didn't have it on here, but now that I know that, I'm going to hammer it. Yeah.
Okay. I am a Sasuke Uchiha fan from Naruto.
My favorite anime, and this goes back, is a guy named Roy Foker from Robotech, the first generation.
Oh.
And it was the Harmony Gold. Yeah, he was like this hard pilot guy in the middle of this, you know, Macross Island battle against the Zentradi, and I just fell in love. And the other one, if you want to call it anime or not, I'm not sure, is the Dracula from Castlevania. Love that.
Oh,
but
nice.
I don't know if that would really transition to true anime. I think that might be a little bit of a cheat, but I'm going to say it anyway, so too bad.
Yes.
One last question before I let you go. As a writer, if you had to choose a mascot or a spirit animal or some kind of avatar for you, what would it be and why?
Probably a cat, because I do just like flopping down and not focusing on anything and just kind of zoning out for a long, long time, probably too long, and just letting things go by.
And you have three cats, right?
I do. I have three cats.
All right. So, well, what are their names? Or at least tell us that.
Yeah, so we have brothers. I'll give you their full names because my husband will yell at me if I don't. We have Lord Reginald Caddington IV. We call him Reggie. And his brother, Cat Stevens, who we call Stevie. And then our third cat we actually got from a friend, so we did not name him, but his name is Sokka, after the Avatar The Last Airbender series.
Ooh, there you go. There you go.
Look, yes.
Our time together is coming to an end, and the duration of my message spell, I could feel the magic fading from my eyes. And before I leave, I want to thank my guest again, Sarah McKnight, for coming on board. Sarah, thank you very much for your time today, for allowing me to conjure you into my realm, if it was only for a short time. And tell everyone where they can find you and your books one more time.
Yeah, absolutely. So my books are all available on Amazon. If you just search for Sarah McKnight or the most popular search, The Reaper's Quota. I am on Twitter at McKnight_writes. That is where I am most active. I am also on Facebook, Sarah McKnight Author, and Instagram and TikTok at Sarah McKnight Writes, all one word.
Well, thanks again, Sarah. And to our followers, thanks again for lending us your ear today. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.
Thank you for having me.